Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Cheltenham for a special edition of The Road to Cheltenham. It's an extended one. We'll be talking about all the key races that will be staged here over the next 4 days, and we'll have some special guests along the way. I'm delighted to say that Nick Luck will be with us this morning and this afternoon. He'll be providing lots of interviews and also some news. He's out on the track now. Over to you, Nick.
Pleasantly mild by Cheltenham early March standards. Temperatures into double figures. This ground will be drying out all the time. Ground as it is on turf tracks this morning, it's officially soft on 90% of the track. The good to soft places are on the spur on the old course where the old 4 miles start and the 2.5 mile start are. So the first bit of that is good to soft. The rest of the old course and the new course is all soft but drying. There is some rain forecast tonight into tomorrow, drying up before the start of the Supreme Novices Hurdle. That is what the forecast is telling us, though we should be reluctant to be dogmatic about that. As far as other important news is concerned this morning, the Secretary of State for Digital Culture, Media and Sport, Oliver Dowden, has announced that the Cheltenham Festival, as far as he was concerned before he entered the Cobra meeting this morning, would definitely go ahead. He was asked that question directly on BBC Radio 5 Live, so that is good news. And the third piece of important news to tell you surrounds Altior. There is a cautiously positive report that has just been issued from Nicky Henderson at Seven Barrows, saying that Altior has definitely made progress. He said if the race was today, he wouldn't be able to run, but he's definitely improved since yesterday. They're continuing to put him on the water treadmill, and they are now quite hopeful that he will make Wednesday's Queen Mother Champion Chase. I will be talking to, amongst others, through the next 90 minutes, I hope, Henry de Bromhead, Dan Skelton and James Nash. But for now, with all that news under your belt, it's back to you, Lydia.
And we'll talk about the impact of the setback that's happened to Altior later on in the show when we focus on the Betway Queen Mother Champion Chase. But first of all, we've got a question to ask you at home, which is about who you think will emerge as top jockey over the 4 days of the Cheltenham Festival presented by Magners. You've got a choice of four, but you can also add your free-form alternate. We've got Paul Townend, Rachel Blackmore, Davy Russell or Barry Geraghty. But please explain why you think one of those might win. And if you've got somebody else who you have a sneaking fancy for, please also let us know that as well. You can go via Twitter or Facebook on our pages to talk about that. I'll get your view at the end of the show, I think. First of all, do you think it's going to be a tight one, Nat?
I think it will be, because I don't think anybody rides a huge amount of favourites. I think Patrick Mullins could even ride the most favourites, but I used to come here and be half confident I'd be champion or leading rider here when I was riding 8 or 9 favourites. It usually made it a bit easier.
But Paul's not in the same position.
I don't think so. I mean, Asterion may or may not be favourite in the first. Cashback definitely won't be. Yes, Keyless Emery definitely won't be. He'll ride one favourite tomorrow. That'll be Benny to do. And on Wednesday, will he ride a favourite at all? Mm. Will Shaq and Poursois end up favourite? I doubt it. Mm. Min might end up favourite in the Ryanair over the Plutar, but that's only a might. And that'll depend on how Tuesday and Wednesday has gone. So he's lots of good rides, but they couldn't be short enough for me.
Do you think there's a lot of pressure on him this time around? Because obviously you were the one that had to soak up that major pressure for the yard in previous seasons.
I think there'll be expectation, but the expectation has to be realistic too. I mean, you look at a lot of the rides Paul Townend will have, and all of them, with the exception maybe of Benny DeJew, who you would be expecting to win, could run the races of their lives and not win races. Mm. They could finish second and third and fourth and have run unbelievable races. So he'll be realistic in his expectation. It's what everybody else expects will be different.
OK. Well, let's find out what Ruby and I expect, and also you at home. Please feel free to email and give us your point of view via our various pages. We're going to start by talking about the Unibet Champion Hurdle. And we wanted to discuss all of these races, really about the tactics, because everybody has talked about, you know, what chance each horse has and pored over it. But we're trying to think about it, trying to visualise how the race might actually be run.
Yeah, we are, because, I mean, look, everyone has their opinion on form, and no one has talked more than you and me, but you and I even. But you look down at this race, there is pace, and there's quite a bit of pace. Cornerstone Lad, Not So Sleepy, and Petit Mouchoir. So that, even for the jockeys riding in the race, is a little bit of a relief. It's not going to be that tactical. They should go forward and go a good even gallop. And then it's about looking at where you think the dangers will be. For Barry Geraghty, he might, you know, Epi Taunt, where is he going to sit on her? And the guys that are riding to beat her, what are they going to do? So with pace in the race, it won't be as tactical as it could be.
No, I tend to agree, but let's examine that pace, shall we? And we'll start with Not So Sleepy. Now, of course, we've seen him a lot on the flat. We've seen him over hurdles as well, and he likes the hair off in front. But this is what happened to him in the Betfair Hurdle.
Yeah, it was, and it was unfortunate. I mean, they're just out of a trot, so technically they are breaking the rules here, and I imagine Simon McNeil, who was starting that day, was going to the letter of the law with Cheltenham coming up, keeping the lads keeping the pressure on them to do the thing right, standing start, and he missed the break. But that can happen. It can happen a lot of horses. Tape flies back and they go back onto their hocks away from the tape, and he's completely missed the kick. But, you know, that was unfortunate. Could that happen in the Champion Hurdle? It's a possibility.
17 runners this time around. More possible than usual, you might think.
It is, but it'll depend on how Petit Mouchoir behaves, really. Cornerstone Lad seems to be a nice and relaxed individual, even though he likes to race forward. Not So Sleepy gets a bit buzzy, but it's what Not So Sleepy does to Petit Mouchoir at the start and how they rev each other.
Yeah, let's talk about Petit Mouchoir. Obviously, he's an older, more mature horse, but let's see what he's done here in the past. He ran in the 2017 Champion Hurdle, and this is his behaviour in the parade.
It is. It's 3 years ago, and I remember when he was in William Mullins's initially, he wore a hood. He went to Henry's then, they took the hood off him. Now look, in the Arkle, we saw the speed he went in the Arkle with St. Calvados. They went really hard, but he did behave himself at the start, to be fair to Petit Mouchoir, and he is now a year older again. That was 2 years ago. He has a bit of age on his side. Look, he's wearing cheap pieces now from a horse that started with a hood. Now he's in cheap pieces to make him go, so he should behave himself well. He's a horse that'll run a big race, Lydia. I just think with the other pace in the race, it'll make him quite vulnerable. But even watch him walk into the tape and behave here. If he does that tomorrow, it probably strengthens Not So Sleepy's chance of there not being a false start.
Yeah, so we're thinking that aversion to big crowds and noise and the big day is possibly a thing for the past with Petit Mouchoir. I agree with you. I think he should run his race, but unfortunately, because there are other front runners around him, I think his chance is compromised.
It does. It makes it a bit more difficult for him. I suppose with Not So Sleepy, it's not a dissimilar path maybe to the one that Hughie Morrison tread with Marble Arch, who finished second in the Champion Hurdle,
you
I think.
That,
I was, yeah, after running poorly in the old Talk Gold Trophy. So look, Not So Sleepy ran poorly in that race, the Betfair Hurdle as it is now, and he's coming here. But again, on the front end in a race like this, it could be difficult.
Let's take a look at Cornerstone Lad, shall we? This is the horse of those three, the ones we're thinking are going to be towards the fourth, I think will be least bothered by it, because I think he can take a lead quite happily.
He can. He can sit behind it. He obviously made the run in the fight in fifth, where he stole a march on Bouvardaire, who got injured on the time, and then he made the run in here in front of Ballyandy, Penton Hills and Durazzo. I agree with you. He doesn't have to. I can see him lining up with them, but I can just see him slotting in third.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that'll suit him just fine. That does mean, though, you would think that, let's say Not So Sleepy gets off quite happily, Petit Mouchoir's with him. If one or two of them start to fade, we've got Cornerstone Lad to take over. So you've got sort of overlapping pace, so it should really be end-to-end.
You do, and you have plenty of stayers in here, the likes of a Super Sunday or Call Me Lord. They mightn't necessarily want to be in front at the top of the hill, but they won't want the pace slowing down. So their riders will be keeping the pressure on and keep pushing forward. So I could see this being real end-to-end and maybe opening the door for a horse coming from well off the pace at a big price to run into the prize money.
I want to talk about that end-to-end gallop in terms of Epitome, but first of all, let's examine how she ran here last year. Now, it's only one run at Cheltenham, so you can't draw any definite conclusions. She makes a series of mistakes. Nicky Henderson has said that he felt that she was still feeling the effects of the flu jab. Does that make you jump poorly?
I think I get one every year because I've no spleen, so I have to get one. I don't think I have any side effects from it, to tell you the truth.
You're jumping quite smoothly and fluently, are you?
Well, as smoothly as someone who's had as many injuries as me can jump, which is not that smooth either, by the way. But I thought she was quite keen early in this race, and she did jump very unlike her. She jumped poorly. Her progression all year has been, her jumping has gotten much better through the season. But she was free in this race. She travelled really well to two out, even after making those mistakes. And look, that was the new course. She faded against the stiff hill here, but it's interesting, the winner is in Jared Sullivan's red colours, still behind Epitant. The runner up is Concertista in the white cap of Simon Muneer and Isaac Suede. They were last and second last passing the stands in this race. You know, it was a strongly run race, the stamina really came into it. She's a year older, I think her jumping has improved no end, and maybe she was good before this, but that jumping won't do. But I can see her being the one to beat.
Okay, we can have a look at her jumping this season as well. That was her last season, where she's just keeping on the one pace up the hill, having really stumps been drawn. This season she's been really slick, as Ruby's been saying, over her hurdles in the Gerry Field and also when winning the Christmas Hurdle. Both of those were relatively tactical affairs, steadily run, so we don't actually know what she's going to be like in an end-to-end gallop, a really strongly run Champion Hurdle.
No, we don't, but she was sloppy at the second last in Newbury when she won the Gerry Field, and then she really pinged the last. And Kempton, she raced slightly off the pace, but because it was a stop-start race, she probably wasn't in the ideal position turning out of the back. She got pushed wide on the bend, and Barry was trying to get her forward, and yet in a bit, after jumping this hurdle. He ends up outside Pentland Hills, Foodstool Raffles, quick grab him. But the second last, she's very good. But it's the last hurdle is the difference in her to last year. She's tight to that hurdle, yet she barely changes her legs to put herself right and flicks the top bar. She galloped strongly to the line. Look, I know it's Kempton, it's a completely different ball game, but Rock on Ruby went Jerry Field and just got touched off in the Christmas hurdle when he came here to win it.
It's an unknown, the track, that's all it is. You can't necessarily hold one run at a course against a horse. You need a much bigger body of evidence.
I would be the same, I think so too. And she's a deserving favourite, and in a race that, no, I'm tired of people saying, oh, it's a shocking champion hurdle. There's no superstar, but there's a lot of very good, lot of good horses in here. And rock solid good horses in here, but she is the one that could improve into it.
Yeah, and she's got her £7 mare's allowance as well. And, you know, a race has got to be run before you know whether it's good or bad.
Exactly.
OK, let's have a look at Pentland Hills, shall we? And we can have a look at him when he used to be running on the flat. And he was quite wayward quite often in a finish. This is him at Thirsk, and he's wandering all over the shop. And he did this quite a bit on the flat. And, you know, he was very immature. Certainly when Nicky Henderson got hold of him when he was a little bit older over hurdles, he was able to be a lot more straightforward. This is the Triumph.
Yeah, look, he was good in the Triumph. But look, he was 20-1 in the Triumph. So it was a bit of a no-pressure ride for Nick. Oh, you're riding a horse to run well. He comes from off the pace, runs down course sublime. But he looked, unlike Thirsk here in Cheltenham, he ran straight as a die that day. He then went to Aintree, and I think put up a better performance when he beat Fakir Dudari. But look, this race, Lydia, and I've looked at it, he did the same here in the International Hurdle when he travelled really well, so he excused him for that. It was his first run of the season. Oh, he got tired, we'll excuse him. Nico, after the last, inside the furlong pole, sends him, and he should have gone all the way to the line, in my opinion, if he's a true champion hurdle horse who's going to get this trip and going to relish Cheltenham. And even when Ballyandy is coming, it's not like Ballyandy came flying down the outside and nabbed him on the line. Ballyandy was coming at him for 100 yards and Pendle Hills couldn't find any more. I think that was a weak enough effort.
Can the breathing operation help that?
Of course it can, but you wonder sometimes, the breathing up, when did it come against him? Is it a roll of the dice? Are they hoping that maybe it was his wind that stopped him? Are they clutching at straws a little bit? He didn't look like a horse when he won the Triumph and won an entry last year. He didn't look like a horse to me that had a wind issue.
No. And how quickly can that come on?
Oh, they're all different operations, but I suppose they can come on relatively quickly. I don't know. It shouldn't. There'll be noises there for a while. It just doesn't happen. Wake up one morning and think, oh, what happened there? It develops over a period of time, really.
I picked up that Thirsk run. You've just seen it there. Do you think it might be relevant at all?
I do. But when you watch him in Thirsk, you think, yeah, he's a horse that could have had a wind issue because he didn't want to run forward and run through it. But where did it go between Thirsk and Cheltenham and Aintree? It looks like it disappeared. The run in Thirsk would suggest, yeah. And people would say, oh, he's not genuine, he didn't want to do it. To me, that screamed like a horse that was looking for something. His head is getting higher, he's trying to get more air, and he can't make the effort that his rider was looking for.
Now that they've tidied that aspect up, we've got a big field. He does travel like a class horse. We've seen that twice. Do you think that might help in terms of how he's ridden in the race?
It will, and he has the pace that if these go as good a gallop as we think they will, Nico will be able to slot him wherever he likes. And he goes through the tape, he's going to be able to manoeuvre into the position he wants to be in, unlike, say, a Super Sunday, who wants a bit further, but Robbie Power's going to have to let him find his feet. And he'll end up in whatever position he ends up in. Whereas Nico will have the ability to put Pentland Hills anywhere he wants in the race because of his pace. I think he'll put him behind Epitant and come at her later.
You mentioned Super Sunday. First time blinkers, age of 10, champion hurdle, really?
I'd say the blinkers are to try and get him sharp in the first half a mile. And it could either work spectacularly or absolutely backfire. Because any horse that goes beyond its pace in the first half mile won't finish. They cut out. You make a horse go faster than it's able, that's the quickest way to get any horse beaten. So blinkers will either sharpen Super Sunday and make him travel in a good position, or they'll sharpen him and make him travel faster than he should be travelling, and that'll stop him.
He's a notoriously stuffy horse, so he might do better than his one run this season. Will last year's form be good enough to play a part in this year's champion hurdle?
Robbie Power keeps saying it, and he's saying it for a long time. He ties him in at Bouvard Air. He's a dual grade one winner at 2 miles, so last year's form, yeah, probably will put him there or thereabouts. But you just think at 10, he can't be getting any quicker. 2 miles was probably not his optimum trip ever in his life. His best performance has been over 2.5. So you just wonder at 2.5, coming back to 2 miles now, can it really be? I see him as a placed horse more so than the winner.
OK, let's have a look at Silios Emery, shall we? The horse that won his supplementary fee by being switched to the Red Mills here. This is him jumping round. He's jumping like a horse who used to be chasing, which he was.
He was, yeah, and he obviously fell on his start prior to this in the Dublin Racing Festival. He jumped OK in Gorham without jumping spectacularly. I watched him schooling last, what day is today? Tuesday. And he jumped really well. Look, he'd a guess there, which you wouldn't particularly like, and a three out, he's a bit awkward and lands in a heap. That sort of jumping will get him into a lot of trouble in a champion hurdle. We think with that run under his belt in the school and he's done since that he should jump a lot better, but he wears a hood, Lydia, and he can get quite excited. He got very worked up when he came to Cheltenham to run in the Supreme Novices a couple of years ago, and how he handles the whole occasion. If you were backing him, I would prefer to see him below at the start and make sure you were happy with him before you get stuck in.
Okay, good point. Right, horses that are definitely going to thrive in the strongly run conditions, Darver Star would be one, surely?
Darver Star would be, likes to come from a little off the pace. I think Sharjah would, because it'll allow
him. Time?
I think they rode him forward on a strong pace, which didn't suit him.
Right.
It was the first time they rode him forward. They jumped out to go with Honeysuckle and just behind Petit Mouchoir. When he had won grade ones, he'd been allowed to find his feet and find his rhythm, like Super Sunday will have to do. So I think Patrick will revert to those tactics on him, allow him to get on wherever it is. Numbers won't matter. Position-wise, whether he's 4th or 14th, he will get Sharjah where Sharjah is happy. And get him on the bridle. He would love the sunshine. He won't want the rain that's forecast this afternoon, and the drier it gets, the better. But he would be come from off the pace. And when you look at it, if these go really hard, there isn't a nanny power of my 10 to yours in here that can sustain it. If they go really hard, they will start to come back, and that could suit a closer like Sharjah.
And how about the likes of Ballyandy, Call Me Lord, amongst the bigger prices? They'd be strong stayers.
They are strong stayers, and Ballyandy, to be fair to him, always runs his race and runs really well around here. He got up to beat Pentland Hills in Haydock. I could see him flashing home again. Where he finishes, I don't know, but you could just see that. I can see this race now, Lydia, away from two out, and you're looking at the screen, picking out the ones in 5th, 6th, 7th that are closing, wondering which one of them is going to get there.
And which one do you think is going to win, just to put you on the spot for the champion hurdle? Because it's a tough race.
If you were handing me a set of colours, I'd put on JPs and go and ride Epitant. What can I see happening? I can see something coming from off the pace, like a Ballyandy, a Super Sunday or a Sharjah, one of those. I'm running these down.
Okay. Interesting stuff. So that is the champion hurdle, the main event of our first day. Let's break off now from this preview of the first day to go and join Nick.
Lydia, thank you. As has been extremely well documented, the National Hunt Chase this year for amateur riders is run over a new distance of just shy of 3¾ miles. Forza Milan, a leading contender, ridden by Derek O'Connor, the brilliant Irish amateur, and trained by James Nash, who's with me now. James, you've had many great days here at Cheltenham in your capacity as a rider, as assistant trainer to Willie Mullins during the years of Wither or Witch, Alexander Banquet, Florida Pearl and co. And latterly, you've run your busy as a trainer. How does this compare this year with Forza Milan?
It's just very exciting to have him. It's great to have him. He's a horse that we always hope might end up here, and he's after a couple of good prep runs. It's completely different. You'd always have great interest being involved with Willie, and actually living with Ruby there the last 10 or 15 years in Hunting Buds every morning was exciting. You know, everyone was excited. Yeah.
Were you quite careful just to leave him if he'd not had such a good day? Well, there were very few not such good days. They were mostly very good days.
Yeah, they were mostly very good days. He was amazing behind the scenes. He'd get over it as quick now. I never had to leave him anyway. We were able to manage whatever we worked at, good and bad. Yeah, good and bad.
What would have been the best day of your Cheltenham career so far?
Oh, sir, when we were involved with Willie's horses, sir, every year there was a highlight. You couldn't pick the best one. I had a great thrill. I was third on a horse called Be My Rail in the Cheltenham Bumper one year. And that was a great thrill. The ground was too fast for him on the day, but it was great to get back into big parade ring. I had plenty more rides here, but that was about as good as it got. Lots of good rides, but that was the best ride I had here. And like I say, living with Ruby up there, there was plenty of exciting mornings and days and evenings.
I bet.
Yeah, good and bad. And then just following Willie's horses, even when I wasn't working there anymore, and I'd go down with him in the mornings and things. Look, it kept it exciting for me, and I loved the place. I loved the place, yeah.
So you can carve your name properly into Cheltenham folklore if Forza Milan were to win this year. He's been here before as well, because he was second favourite for the Pertemps a couple of years ago. But he's joined you this season, and he seems to have improved a bit. Are you pretty happy with the way you've got him?
We're very happy with him. Yeah, we're very happy. He came, and this might have been a long-term aim, and he hadn't been jumping great when we got him, but maybe it was just something niggly, because I believe even before we got him, he had schooled well at home in Jandras, but he just hadn't shown it in the track. But maybe a bit of a break and just freshening him up or whatever. But now he seems to be jumping okay and schooling well and doing everything fine. So we've been very happy with him.
And how did you get Derek O'Connor? That's the key question.
I didn't think we'd get Derek. I actually, Lisa O'Neill in my head, was hoping that he'd end up with her. I didn't think we'd get Patrick, Derek or Jamie with the connections. And I think when JP didn't have a runner a couple of weeks ago, I was told that there was a chance he'd ride him. And then Derek was on himself maybe 10 days ago and saying that he was available to ride him, which is obviously a great asset to me and my owners. You know, it was great to have him.
And there was a margin between Carefully Selected and him, Nace, but you didn't stop, you kept going. How hopeful are you can bridge that gap?
Well, sure, we're hopeful. Like, we went the first day and he ran a great race. Our own young lad rode him in Ferios and Novices, and he ran above himself as far as I was concerned. I just thought we kind of wanted to see where we were going with his history of jumping at the races. So we were delighted with his run, he was second. And then we went to Nace and we didn't do an awful lot different, and he ran another cracking race with hope and with both runs that he'd improve for them. So hopefully he has. He appears to have. It's on ratings and things, like, he's obviously not well in with some of the horses, but he's a full brother to one for Arthur, and we're hoping, but above all else, that the extra trip might bring the improvement he needs. Yeah.
James, thank you very much. Good luck with Forza Milan.
James Nash, who has one of the key contenders for tomorrow's National Hunt Chase for amateur riders, and he's got a good amateur as well. More from me in a little while.
The services of a certain Derek O'Connor. Ruby and I are now going to have a look at the National Hunt Chase and get his thoughts on that. An interesting difference in the National Hunt Chase, of course, is the reduced trip. And also, it's not a massive field, is it?
No, and it can often be a huge field. And you look down through it, and when you watch the race start in years gone by, and they come across the middle of the race course, and all of a sudden you're looking where are the fancied ones, and they appear in the shot in the last five horses in the race, and usually ridden by the five or six best riders, and they would always be at the back because of the speed they were going. But when you look at this smaller field, different start, and you look down through the names on the right hand side of that page, you're thinking, God, these are all guys and ladies that know their stuff. So I think this will be a much more tactical race than it has been in the past. Look, I tipped Carefully Selected here months ago on this show.
Good price.
Got a really good price, and he's 2-1 favourite now. He's schooled really well since his last run in Nace, which wasn't spectacular on the jump in front, as you're about to see. Was very careful there, but he has schooled much better. And I think the 14-runner field will be a help to him. I think the occasion will be a help to him. He's a lazy, laid-back horse, unlike some of the others who are trying to keep a lid on. That won't do. But other than, like, the ones who are trying to keep a lid on, I think the occasion will help this horse, and it'll help him concentrate. And I think it'll be an easier ride for Patrick Mullins in a more competitive race. So, you know, Henry's tips up at Rachel there, Spyglass Hill, Forza Milan, that James Nash was just talking about, is in the red and white behind Carefully Selected. But, you know, Carefully Selected did get to dictate this race, and he had the speed, Lydia, to be second in the Cheltenham bumper. And I think if Patrick Mullins can get him into a rhythm, keep him in contention, I think he'll have too much speed for any of these from the back of the last.
Yeah, if he's still there, he just needs a magnifying glass to try and find that stride, doesn't he, as he's approaching the fence?
I just think he needs momentum.
Right.
And I think when he's behind the bridle and allowed to back off, strides get shorter and then the distance from the fence becomes bigger. I think in a more competitive race where he's actually on the bridle and gathered under Patrick Mullins and contact from the bit is putting weight on his hocks, it'll become much easier for him.
Okay. At the six-day stage in the Road to Cheltenham column, I put up Raven Hill for this race, which is a kind of traditional horse that does well. He's got quite a lot of experience over fences. He's run in some competitive handicaps. He's run extremely well in the Kerry National here.
He has. Down the outside, Rachel Blackmore on the inside, and the white cap just holds on, and Poker Party. Robert Power was coming off one of Neil Mulholland's, whose name has escaped me, but, you know, that's the Kerry National dry ground in the stall last September. I think this will be a much different ball game for him. Here he is in the Tri-Town in Navan. I can't find him. Oh, here we are. On you go. Is he standing? No way he could have stood. Much bigger fences than Navan. The stall is a grand little race course. Chase tracks on the inside of it. Fences aren't massive. This will be a different test for him. He'll have to jump a lot better than he did in Navan.
Yeah, very much so. And obviously the faller statistics coming into the festival are not good. But at the time, I was thinking, I need that kind of profile of horse. Another one I was thinking about was Lord Demille. Let's have a look at this horse, trained on this side of the Irish Sea, progressive and trying some top handicap chases, most notably in the Haydock Grand National trial here.
Yeah, look, he keeps galloping away, and this turned into a real old slog, as that race often can. But this fella, I always got the feeling watching this race, the horse run was bone idle, and he was never going to get put reeled in by the horses behind him. You know, he's deliberate at the last, but he starts to get running again when the other horse appears into his eye shot, and he's lonely over on this side. But I don't know, Lydia. I think in old 4 milers, where it was 4 mile with a huge field, would have suited him a bit better than maybe this tactical affair is going to know.
Yeah, that was the imponderable about it. I mean, you look at the kind of horses that were suited by this kind of test previously, and it might be different this time around, which is why I thought we should discuss the next couple as well. Springfield Fox, who's run a couple of times over fences. We can have a look at him running at Exeter. Now, he gets the first fence wrong.
But survives.
Yeah.
I like survival instincts. And he survives. You know, and to be fair, I always found Exeter a great track for novices. Alright, the 3 fences away past the stands were slightly downhill, but the next 8 were all uphill, and it was a great place for a horse to learn his trade. And this fella stays really well, but look, he's impressive, but what sort of a race is it? I mean, Carefully Selected could run in an RSA. Could any of these, the rest of them, the horses we're looking at?
No, but again, if you're, I mean, lots of people will be against Carefully Selected at the price because of his jumping flaws.
Yeah, I suppose, but we're on at a much bigger price, so we're not worried about that, are we?
If you follow Ruby in, well done. You're sitting on a nice price. No, but if you're thinking about 2-1...
I wish I'd follow myself in. But 2-1, yeah, it is tight, and he has jumping issues to overcome. But I know my dad had him as a point-to-pointer. Katie rode him in 2 point-to-points. I'd be fairly happy that he has a lot of jumping done and is well able to do it. And in a competitive environment, you might see a different horse.
OK, let's talk about another lightly raced horse, which, again, I just feel that where they might have been disadvantaged in a previous edition of the National Hunt Chase, I wonder whether that's going to be the case this time round. And that lack of experience, that might not be a worry. That immediately makes you think of New Tide for Kim Bailey. And this horse was quite a fortunate winner at Warwick last time. At Wetherby last time. This is in the Tow Town. Baldmere on the right falls late.
He does. And Wetherby, I suppose, you know, is a fast enough track. But plenty of jumping on it. It used to be the last time I was there. And he keeps galloping. As you said, Lydia lacks a bit of experience. But to me, as you said, he was fortunate. No doubt he was fortunate. But
cameraman wasn't expecting it.
No, he wasn't. But to be fair to Kim Bailey's horse, he didn't have to dance around the horse on the ground, which would suggest he had a bit more in the tank. But I'd like to have saw him finishing stronger in Wetherby to say 3 miles and 6 in Cheltenham is going to suit him.
See, I realise it's the Towton and I mispronounced it. Apologies, everybody. I think he's shaped like a proper thorough stayer. And probably now, if I look at the race at this stage, as things stand, he's the one I probably like most. And you?
I'd still like you going up and Carefully Selected.
OK.
As AP always said, take a chance on a ordinary jumper with a great chance than a great jumper with no chance.
OK. So that is the National Hunt Chase, and we're going to move on to the Supreme now, which is going to be the first race on the first day, the big roar, where, as Ruby was saying, on our Road to Cheltenham course walk, jockeys are pretty nervous down the start, nerves jangling. Asterion Falange is now the favourite at 11-4. Shishkin is 3-1, and it's 13-2 and upwards the rest. We're going to start by talking about Asterion Falange. I'm against this horse, particularly at that price, because of the way he adjusts right. He's adjusts right every time he's been on a race course.
He has, and I believe he did it even in his point-to-points. Pat Doyle, we were talking about him after he won an ace. Willie said that Pat Doyle said he did it in his point-to-point as well. And it will be an issue for him, and he's probably going to be on the front end. It'll be an issue for him at the last hurdle with a circuit to go. He'll jump out right and have to swing sharply back left. He'll be okay at the first down the back and the next one, but 3 out, 2 out down the hill, and there's horses with a bit of speed queuing up behind him. If he's shimmying and heading off right, he's going to let a big gun through on his inside. And as much as Paul Townham will try and shut the door as quick as he can when he lands, with a class of horse that's in this race, that's going to make it difficult for him. Now watch him at the back of this fence hurdle, jumps right and goes left when he lands. So he can't, to be fair to him,
if he can do that,
yeah, you know, if he can do that, he'd be fine. But it's just not, it's far from ideal.
It's tiring, isn't it, and takes him out of his rhythm at all.
Well, that's the way he's going, so it probably keeps him in his rhythm, but it's given the horses behind him a better opportunity and a better chance. The door's going to be open. You're going to have a clever enough person sitting second or third that's going to be waiting for that gap to jump through, and then when one jumps through, he's going to the next hurdle bit further out. So when he goes right there, all of a sudden there'll be 2 through when he's inside. And he could end up very well by the time he turns in.
You just mentioned that you thought that he'll be towards the 4. That's going to be important for a horse like Shishkin, who tends to be very keen. He's demonstrated that on both of his starts that he's completed this season.
Yeah, and he was keen early in Newbury, but it was a very middling early pace. You see him here with Nico de Bond, and you see the horse's head, you know, just lifting ever so slightly as Nico's trying to get some control on him. I can't see Asterion Falange going slow. I can see him lining up to go. I think Rachel Blackmore will have to get a good handle on Captain Guinness.
Yes.
Or that could be gone forward as well. So I think Supremes, I don't remember a slow Supreme. I know I got to the front in a good few, but I was always going a strong gallop in them. And I think Supremes, even more so than Champion Hurdles, can be fast. They'll be fast through the first half a mile, whatever happens.
They tend to be, you want to be towards the four as well. You need to be fast and stay.
You do, but that
four-ish.
That tactically depends on a lot of things. Like Alfaroff or Nolan came from well off the pace, but they were really strongly run races that were completely end-to-end. So, you know, if you let someone get on the front here that steadies it up past the stands, it does make it hard for the people behind.
Yeah, so Asterion Falange going forward. Maybe Elixir Danny, I was wondering, dropping down in trip?
Yeah, made it, and he's made in Hurdle and Nace, and then was second Envoy Allen when he made the run and dragged Envoy Allen a long way. And that's a pretty good piece of form, Lydia. Mm-hmm. I think Envoy Allen is a top-class novice hurdler, and Elixir Danny put it up to him for a long way in Nace, so he shouldn't be forgotten about. Dropping right back down to 2 miles, though, not so sure. I can see the theory behind it and the reasoning, because he'll stay really well, but look, there's loads of horses in there that will want a good gallop. I think Fiddler on the Roof will want a good gallop. Elixir Danny will want a good gallop. Shishkin wants a good gallop. Asterion Falange needs a good gallop. But the one horse we keep talking over and going by is Abacadabras.
Yeah, I'm coming round to this horse.
So am I. And I got 13 to 2 each way. His form is rock solid. I mean, he's second Envoy Allen in the Royal Bond. He beat latest exhibition in the Monksfield Novice Hurdle. He jumped quite poorly when he went on his first start in Gorn. He ran well in last year's Cheltenham Bumper. Now, he was quite awkward that day with Lisa O'Neill. He was quite keen all the way, but he travelled down the hill going better than anything. And I think Davy Russell will park him in the third row and let the race happen in front of him. And with an Asterion Falange going right and creating a bit of space, he could be the one that gets a really good run when he wants it, and he'd be finishing really strong.
There's a couple of the bigger price horses as well that were going to the four in the early stages, weren't there? The likes of Jabber and the likes of Hollow Sand, of Luke Comers, and maybe even Heaven Help Us, maybe?
Yeah, you get a few, always tend to get a few real outsiders that want a flash, or their owner wants to see them. Get them out there and get them going forward. And you can get a couple of those that add to the early pace in the Triumph Hurdle, or the Supreme even. But yeah, I'd be shocked if it's a slowly run race.
Yeah, and that's going to Steve Abacadabras. You mentioned that he was a bit keen last year. I haven't seen that this year.
Neither have I, but I think Hurdles have settled him, because he's an OK jumper without being a brilliant one. And the one we haven't mentioned is Chantry House. Thought he was impressive in Newbury when we were there on the 8th of February. I thought he was a strapping individual, and you just love him to have as much experience as he has.
Yeah, I've got no doubt. I'm pretty convinced that he's a horse with ability. I just wonder whether this is coming a little bit too soon in his career.
It could be. I think he's a horse with a huge future, though.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Right, OK. Which one would you ride?
I would ride Shishkin.
Fair enough. And keep him nice and settled.
Just park it in behind there, and if they weren't going fast enough, sure I'd make it myself.
You've heard how to do it. Right, let's move on to the Arkle, shall we? Because this is going to be really interesting from a tactical point of view as well. The Racing Post Arkle Challenge Trophy sees Notebook as the favourite at 3-1. Fakirudar is next in at 4s. Joseph O'Brien has chosen to go here rather than the Marsh. Bruin Up a Storm is the one that's been backed in recent days, 11-2. Cashback is out to 7-1, and it's 12-1 and upwards the rest. Let's take a look at Notebook. We talked about his behaviour at the Dublin Racing Festival, and we'll see that in a moment. But it wasn't a one-off. This is him prior to the Ballymore at the festival last year.
It is, and if you notice there, just in front of the bit, he does wear a cross noseband, yet look how high his head gets and how much he's trying to open his mouth. You see him rearing back there from the show hurdle at the start of the Ballymore. So he does that have that kink in him. Now, I do believe, and I think if Henry coming on in a while, that they're thinking of doing something with him headgear-wise going to the start.
Oh, right.
I thought he said that at the Dublin Racing Festival. We can get Nick to ask him in a while.
The rules have changed over here to allow that, hasn't
it? Yeah, maybe stick your hood on him until he gets it. This is him in Dublin, where he went the wrong way. The start is at the bottom of the straight in Leopardstown. This horse is heading for the top of the back straight. So, look, this has to be a concern. But, Lydia, they'll be at the start 5 minutes before the race, so you can watch how he behaves in the preliminaries, and if you wish to back him, you can back him then. Mm.
And, of course, it should be said that, of course, he did this at Leopardstown and then went on to win the race.
He did. Rachel Blackmore did a great job to get him back under control. That's her Pony Club days coming out, the way she turned him across the track and ran him into a cul-de-sac. But, yeah, he did go and win the race and beat Cashback, but it wasn't a strongly as run a race as I thought it might be. When we broke it down against Good Chase on the same day, they went a good bit slower in that race. So I can see tomorrow's race being a faster run race than that race in Leopardstown. And I think he's vulnerable.
Let's take a look at the start and how things are going to progress, or how we project things are going to progress. We're going to have a look at when Notebook ran against Fakir Didaris in the Racing Post Novices Chase earlier this season. We've got them each highlighted for you. Notebook on the left, Fakir Didaris on the right. Talk me through this start.
Yeah, Jingle is on this side with the hood, and Lorena is in the red in the middle, Royal Rendezvous in the green. I suppose, having watched Fakir twice, everyone was expecting him to jump and go hard, like he did in Navan when he beat Mellon, like he did in Ferryhouse against Sam Crowe. They lined up and went, but Fakir's on the inside. But Jingle has the pace to the first fence to outdo them all, and Notebook goes with him. But then Notebook gets over with a really good jump, or a couple of really good jumps, and gets in front of Fakir, and Fakir gets caught behind Notebook and was never probably got into the rhythm or had the space, even though it was a small field, to jump the way he can. And I think whilst Fakir wants a little bit further, having been ridden down the inside, when Notebook got in front of him, he kind of got boxed all the way. And Notebook wasn't going that hard in front, yet to get around him wasn't going to be easy. So I could see Fakir lining up the other side of Notebook.
Like the course walk you were talking about, the first two fences.
I could see him getting himself a bit more space and sending him over the first couple, and either making Notebook or Cashback go a really strong gallop and then being allowed to sit second or just behind the pace. But I could see Fakir being the one that forces either Cashback or Notebook.
Okay, let's think about Cashback now as well, and we can look about how Cashback and Notebook started when they clashed against each other in the Irish Arkle, the race that wasn't run as strongly as Chacun Pessoa's Dublin Chase.
I suppose it's probably an unfair comparison to be making, but it was a comparison we did. But you see, Rachel's lined up in a similar position to the one she did at Christmas. Cashback jumps out to go. Now, Danny Mullins controlled this and didn't have to go crazy speed to control it, and Rachel just sat outside him. But they were going too quick for the other four. They couldn't quite keep up all the same. Two good jumpers, strong travelling horses. But I think Fakir will get in here and make it a bit tougher for these two tomorrow. They won't get to go along just like that.
Were they, you seem to suggest that after that race there were some regrets about not riding Cashback that little bit harder?
I think when you finish second, I wouldn't say, yeah, regrets maybe. Is that the right word? When you get beaten half a length or whatever it was and you finish second, you look for something to find that half a length and turn the form around. And when I was looking at it, you were thinking the way Cashback kept going, the way he ran through the line in Nace the time before, maybe he could have gone at a higher tempo for longer. So Cheltenham will definitely bring about that. The atmosphere alone will make them go a bit quicker than they went that day.
Yeah, here is Cashback's win at Nace, where he really does gallop on and he's actually very hard to pull up. But we've looked at Notebook's temperament for the proceedings here at Cheltenham. What about Cashback's temperament?
Yeah, I was slightly worried about him, to tell you the truth. He wears a hood. He wears a hood riding out every day. But I watched him here this morning riding out Lydia, and he was grand. He was nice and relaxed. He walked all the way down from the stable yard to the infield, walked around, did his trot and his canter.
And we've got 70,000 people here today, though.
I know that, but he's still away from home in a strange environment. Tomorrow, I know, will be a different ball game, but at least he hasn't left his race here today.
And so the argument about Cashback there was that, you know, he went a strong pace, sustained a strong pace, and still had plenty left to give, whereas there was just question marks had he actually got more to give the way he was coming back against Notebook.
It's a question mark, and if you're going to turn the form with Notebook, you have to find out somehow.
But if Fakir Didaris is pushing him and pressing him and niggling him to go a little bit faster, isn't Cashback compromised?
Possibly, but that probably boils down to what do you think he'll win or something like that. But I think Fakir will be the one that is almost a needle or torn in the side of Notebook and Cashback. I think he's the one that'll be the terrier that's going to be forcing them all the time.
Explain to me what happened then when he got beaten in the Supreme.
I think early, I can't remember the horse's name, Bryony Frostroad, that charged, that made the running, blitzed over the first hurdle and halfway to the second hurdle. But when Bryony got control and steadied him back, JJ Slevin was behind him, and with a horse on the outside moving forward, he just got caught behind the horse that was going backwards and got taken backwards out of the race. From having a brilliant position here, he got caught behind the wrong horse and had a poor position at the top of the hill. that happens.
How about him being £7 worse off with Notebook for a defeat?
Yes, and I think that's a very legitimate point, but I do think that a lot of four-year-olds can improve in the spring of their five-year-old year.
Surely he's precocious.
Possibly, but I saw O'Connor do it all through that year to when he fell here in the champion hurdle. He kept getting closer to his rivals. I think they can, the horses can improve physically, however precocious he is. Okay. He can be, I could still see him improving a bit. He hasn't run since Christmas, so he's been allowed to mature and get there.
Last clip to show you involves Notebook and why Ruby thinks he might be vulnerable, particularly around the turning tight old course. It's something that he did 3 out in the Irish Arkle.
And he did it at Christmas, and Henry said he did it a bit worse at Christmas even. But you watch him here from behind. This fence is slightly on an angle. You watch how far away from the inside he is when they land. And he's gone out to his right and he's turning back to his left. And the fence passer stands here. You could see him losing quite a bit of ground if he does that.
And quite a lot of time to recover, but not in a race like the Arkle?
No, but you're recovering onto a bend just about to run downhill. There's time to recover, but it's just not ideal.
I don't need to ask you which horse you want to ride here. I think it's pretty obvious to everyone at home.
I'd ride Facker. I think he's the most straightforward.
Well, I'm reading for that, yeah.
But having said, look at the prices. I think Cashback's out to a great each-way price, but I just think the one that you can go to the start and not be worried about preliminaries or a false start or what's going to happen. I think the most straightforward is without doubt Facker Du Diary.
Okay, so Facker Du Diary for Ruby. Let's break off from this preview of the first day and go and join Nick. He's got Patrick Mullins with him.
Ruby playing the percentages there as far as the Arkle's concerned with Notebook, Cashback, Fakir Duder. He was saying he might ride Fakir Duder. He thinks Cashback's a great each-way price. What do you think, Patrick?
I think Cashback has the ability, no doubt, but I'd have a little question mark over his head. You know, if you're going to back him, I'd be looking at him in the parade ring. I'd be watching him go down the start. He wears a hood. He has similarities to Under Soul. You know, he goes on his own a bit at home. I just would have a question mark over the preliminaries.
Interesting. So we've all been talking about Notebook and how he'll handle the preliminaries, and you're just advising us just to have a look at Cashback. As far as your rides are concerned, Ruby was saying earlier in the programme, it's not impossible. You might ride more favourites than anyone else this week. Are you absolutely sure of your whole book yet?
No. I mean, as everyone knows, with Willie, nothing is absolutely sure. So, look, I think I obviously carefully selected and appreciated are my two best chances. They'll both be favourites. I sat and carefully selected this morning. He settled in well. He's been here before, so, you know, he was second in the champion bumper. I schooled him around Navin over 9 fences the other day, on last Tuesday, and he jumped very well. We did say to Willie that none of us were happy with the sun down the back straight, and we'd like to skip the ford on the back straight. And Willie said, it looks fine from here. So we carried on, and we couldn't see a lot of them. But
and he was okay?
He was fine. So, I was very happy with him.
There's been a lot of talk about this horse, because he is going to be favourite, as to how good a jumper he is. So in your opinion, you've ridden the winner of this race, and you understand what it takes to jump round Cheltenham. Is he a slick enough jumper to do it round, even at 3-6?
I think he is. I mean, you know, when Rod Vindham won here, I'd fallen off in the race beforehand. And he wasn't great in the first lap, but he got into a rhythm then. He made a mistake the third last in Nace, and he made a mistake the second last in Fairy House. But on the whole, he's a good jumper. He's done loads of schooling. Ted Walsh had him. He ran 2 point of points. I think he's more than good enough jumper, yeah.
As far as Appreciate is concerned, the horse you ride in the champion bumper, I put it to Willie after he won at the Dublin Racing Festival. I was interested that he'd won over 2.5 at Christmas, and he slapped me down a little bit and said, look, that's all that was there for him. It was nothing else. It wasn't the fact that he was slow. Is he a fast horse, Appreciate?
Yeah, I mean, if you saw how I rode him in that race, I went to the front but slowed it up and turned it into a sprint, and he just, in 5 strides, he left the rest of him for dead. He's a lot of hours this year have been improving throughout the season. At the start of the season, we would have thought he was a bit slow, and we sort of earmarked him for the 2.5 at that stage. But after his first run, he got a lot quicker at home, and since his second run, he got a lot quicker at home. But Willie and Tripp, I mean, Fahim won over 3 miles before he can, you know, it's oftentimes we don't get too caught up in Tripp.
Class will overcome Trip as far as you're concerned. Is that that's the way you look at things generally?
Yeah, as long as their temperament. You know, if a horse is very keen going, you mightn't go up in Trip. But if a horse settles very well, they can go, especially as a novice or bump horse, they can go any Trip.
What's your game plan with Sharjah? Is it back to plan A with him in the champion hurdle?
Probably. You know, it's going to be a handicapped kind of field, you know, 17 runners. The last day, you know, there was 2 horses to count between which one, Honeysuckle Lyra, going forward. We sat on their tails. Was that why he didn't jump great? Maybe. It didn't feel like he was on his head. But, yeah, I think we'd probably ride for luck a bit. You know, there's a couple of horses there to go forward. 17 runners. you know, he's the highest rated horse in the race, and if he turns up on the day...
Is he a better horse than Soleil Emery?
I think he is, yeah, I think he is. Celius, again, is another horse I'd have questions about the preliminaries here. He's been very settled in small field chases. 17 runners in the champion hurdle, we're going to be fairly jig-jogging into the start.
Yeah.
I'd wonder how he's going to handle that.
And last question, are you going to ride Kenboy? Is there a chance you might ride Kenboy in the Gold Cup?
Well, I schooled him around Navan, into the sun as well. He jumped well. And I rode him working punch down at the start of the season. So I know him well. I haven't asked Willie, and you know, because I don't think he'd know himself at this stage. But Ruth Dudfield looks after him, says he's in great form. I'd love to get my leg over him. But I'm sure David is going to be trying as well. And Danny is riding lots of winners, so... there'll be plenty of competition for it.
So is there a chance he actually doesn't know yet who's going to ride him? He'll just make his mind up Wednesday morning?
Yeah, oh, genuinely. I mean, people, you wouldn't believe it. You know, he'd be sitting there and not quite making it up as it goes along, but near enough. He likes to leave everything until nothing can change. And that's how he works, and I'm used to it at this stage, so...
I mean, obviously, I'll say this to the other two as well, but I hope it works out well for you, and good luck this week. Cheers, Patrick.
Thanks very much, Nick.
Patrick Mullins, who may yet ride the most favourites this week, and may yet, Lydia, be on Kenboy in the Gold Cup.
And we'll talk about Kenboy's chances later on. We need to do one more race from the first day yet, and that is the Close Brothers Mare's Hurdle. And we have the clash on between Bueny de Dieu, who's 4-6, and Honeysuckle, who ducked the champion hurdle to come here for the Mare's Hurdle. Well, she did, didn't she? She did. I mean, that's what happened.
Duck. She just took up this option.
She ducked it. Well, I mean, you know, to be fair, it probably isn't fair to say ducked it, because in many ways, Bueny de Dieu surely is a more substantial opponent than potentially any of the horses in the champion hurdle.
I think connections have gone to the race and trip that suits their horse best, and I would say Honeysuckle's form is better at 2.5 than at 2 miles. She looks slightly vulnerable in the Irish champion hurdle, I thought. Petit Mouchoir jumped back by her. Here's Bueny de Dieu last year. Everything's going swimmingly at this time, Lydia. It's all just gone rosy.
Pick up the other horses as well. Yeah. Stormy Island in front.
Stormy Island in front. In the blue with the maroon is Rachel Blackmore on Good Time Tara. Roxanne, obviously, with Harry Skelton, blue cap with the pink colours. Bueny de Dieu slips through between her two stable companions here.
Lady Buttons on the left with the sheepskin noseband.
Yeah, and I think, look, she's an admirable mare, Lady Buttons, and she's had a great season, but I think something similar is where, just about where she'll end up. Maybe, arguably, she's a little bit better this season. It might get a little bit closer, but I think the race is even a bit hotter than last year. Bueny travelled really well.
She's a better chaser than a hurdler, actually.
Yeah, she's a good jumper, and there's probably not enough jumps for her, but next year she'll be in the mare's chase, whenever day it's on. Bueny goes to the last, leaves her off for, I think it was, on top of the hurdle and crumples over. But look, I think she was going to win. Still can't believe she fell, but she did. And Roxana stays on to win. Look, I think Bueny de Dieu will be very hard to beat here. And I think she's coming, Lydia, with a better prep even than last year. Last year, you know, she came here first time. This year, she's coming having won the Galmoy hurdle over 3 miles, where she absolutely romped away from horses that probably aren't in great form. You'd want to be beating Penn Hill as far as she beat her. But she did, and I think watching her work last week, I rode work against her, and she worked really well, and I think she's in wonderful form.
How about the de facto winner, the Roxana? I heard from the preview circuit, you know how things get said on the Cheltenham preview circuit, connections close to her, one of them was putting up the argument that Bueny de Dieu was coming to the end of her tether at the final hurdle. I didn't think that was the case. What did you think?
Sure, look, at the end of the day, Lydia, Roxana was the winner, so they can put up whatever theory they want and no one can disprove them for being wrong. But I didn't, on the approach to the last hurdle, want to be on anything else other than Bueny de Dieu anyway, and I think she would have won. But look, it doesn't matter, that's only opinion. I think Roxana then went to entry, the cap fits and Apple Shade, that's the horse, isn't it? The cap fits and Apple Shade, and ran probably a career best nearly that day.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it this year.
No, it hasn't been the same, has it?
No, it hasn't. I haven't. I've seen probably a slight regression in her form, if anything, and I think she could even be vulnerable for third.
OK, let's take a look at Honeysuckle, shall we? This is her when she took on the boys in the Irish champion hurdle, and her hurdling wasn't the slickest on this day.
No, but that's, you know, to be fair to her, she's a jumper. She came from the point-to-point field, and she jumps rather than hurdles, and she's trying to follow up really slick champion hurdle style jumper in Petit Mouchoir, and it got found out. It was her ability that got her through the race and got her to win the race. But I think he's even at second last. Look at the ground she loses by the time, you know, Rachel Blackmore has to pick her up. She goes by Petit Mouchoir. How much she gives away again at the last here. To think now, in 2 strides after this hurdle, the grey is going to be back in front. you know, it just shows you how much ground this mare did give away jumping, and that's probably why she's gone up in trip, to give her a little bit more time and take the emphasis off jumping. But she's a very good filly, she's a tough filly. But even when she won in Fairy House last year, Elle Field was second and ran her down to be a good second, Elle Field did of Willie's. And I think Benny DeJew could beat Elle Field an awful lot further than Honeysuckle did. I think the race will be straightforward. Stormy Island is in there, she wears her heart in her sleeve, Robbie Power rides her, she'll go a real good gallop, and I can't imagine that Rachel Blackmore or Paul Townend will be too far away from that pace.
Okay, let's have a look at Stormy Island. She ran really well to finish second in the race last year, rallying, having led. This time around, I'd say, if anything, she's a bit in better form this season.
She's in great form, and she's been, she's a bit stronger. She's a year older. Last year was probably a hard enough year for her, turning from four into five. It can be a tricky season for a lot of her horses, but look, she races the same way every day. You know what you're going to get with Stormy Island. She jumps out and goes, and that probably is making tactics for Paul Townend and Rachel Blackmore a bit simpler and straightforward. There's no cat and mouse here. There might be play cat and mouse with each other, but at least they'll have a front runner that's bringing them a good gallop.
Okay, so we know that Stormy Island is going to lead. The field is quite small and select, smaller than it can often be here. Two out, what happened?
I don't know. Cui Vegan, she odds on, and there's 17 or 18 of them in the race. But I think down to two out, could probably see Honeysuckle just been in front of Benny DeJew, taking it off Stormy Island, and Paul will be coming at Rachel.
Produce at last?
Probably before it. Take it off or go into the last and just power away up the hill. It's easy when you're not riding them, isn't it?
And I'd imagine that is the one that you very much would want to ride if you could this year.
She'd be straightforward, yeah, I think so. I think she's a very good mare, and I'd be confident going out with her.
Yeah. Okay. So those are our thoughts on the first day of the Cheltenham Festival. Coming up tomorrow, we're now going to move on to day two and start with the big race of that day, which of course is the Betway Queen Mother Champion Chase. And first off, Nick's given you the latest news about Altior. 3-1 third favourite now. What did you make of the Altior news? I mean, he's just seemed to be on a sort of a blighted star this season, don't you think?
A little bit, but obviously, with a splint, if they are hopeful of getting him to Wednesday, to me it means he banged it. A splint is a little bump on a bone. Obviously, he's hit it somewhere or other and it's bruised. Not the end of the world, and I think they have enough of time to get him to the race. I think it's happened, and in a weird sense, it's also happened late enough. Here we see him last year, St. Calvados made the run and nothing else wanted to go with him, and he's gone along in second place. I think this year's race could be a tactical enough affair as well. Without Undersaw, there is no real front runner in there now, and that'll be tactical. I think the one that won't make it is Defy the Soul. Mm-hmm. So that'd be amazing if he was to make the running, but I think Altior, I don't think it'll interfere with his prep either. I mean, he without doubt would have been fit and ready to go by Saturday. He was hardly going to get fit in the next 3 days, so he's been on the treadmill. I think he'd be okay, and this is where he was most impressive in the Champion Chase last year, when it all looks like it's going pear-shaped for him and Nico gets really serious with him. All of a sudden it's like he changed gear 100 yards down and goes and wins well at the death.
Let's talk about possible pace scenarios for the race. That grey horse in second is Politolog. Could he possibly go out and try to make it on Wednesday?
Paul Nicholls will definitely think about it, because he will look at this race and he will look at it tactically himself and try to figure out a way that he can get Politolog to outrun himself. So I wouldn't be surprised if he did it, because Paul will put a lot of thought into how the race will be run. This is the Champion Chase Special. Tiara Duvan jumps to the front here with Patrick Mullins in a minute. Ooh, Sharbel tipping over. But Politolog, I think he has... Look, he's a good horse, Politolog, and he's been kept relatively fresh.
Well, he's had problems, hasn't he? But he's been breaking blood vessels this season.
Yeah, which is not ideal. But that's fresh would be the best chance for him. But look, and I think more to take from this bit of footage, Lydia, is Min in the green cap. We won't talk about in the Ryanair. Look how well Min is travelling there compared to Altior in the black. Yeah, when you see this in a minute, how weakly Min finishes. To think jumping the second last there with that big jump, and then all of a sudden, nothing.
That's why I'm wondering whether the track ideally suits Min, but we'll come back to that argument. The reason we showed this is Altuor's most impressive champion chase success, coming right away from in, and it was pretty strongly run. A tag team, Special Tiara to Duvan to the rest of the field taking over. Still, Altuor hit a flat spot, but still, this is by far the most substantial performance.
It was. I think the flat spot he hit that day was because he had nowhere to go. He was in behind a wall of horses, but as soon as he got out, he took off. Look, Altuor in really good form and 100%, which he will be if Nicky Henderson even brings him to the races.
Can he really be 100% with that having happened?
Yeah, of course he can. It's no more than you getting a bruise on your shin. Once you get the...
You don't know how I react to a bruise on my shin.
Maybe not. But once you get the... Oh, God. How soft are you?
But quite soft.
When you get the bruising out and the pain out of it, then it's gone. So they are icing it, hosing it. They'll get the... break down the old blood and get rid of it. And they'll get all the pain and soreness out of it. And I think he'd be fine. I don't know, it does change the race. You were thinking, wow, what kind of race is it going to be? How's it going to be run? And that does throw a little bit of a dampener on it. But I still don't think that affects the tactics. I think it'll be interesting to see what each and every rider does.
Okay, let's have another look at Altuor. This is what he's produced this season. The Game Spirit Chase, he wasn't that ultimately overall impressive. The most impressive bit was from two out.
It was. Look, Bundoran fell at the water. Dynamo Dollars ended up in front, simply. Ned saw Royale, Kalashnikov, you know, and Altuor, he just went along. And you all the way through the race thinking, is he going? Isn't he going? Is he going? You know, three out, gets a bit high there. See how clean he is in the air, and you're thinking, oh no, God, he's going to struggle. I was actually standing beside Mick Fitzgerald watching it, and Fitzy was getting a bit anxious. But, you know, from whatever it is about him, from looking like he's in trouble, gets in close to that two out, I think it was. But all of a sudden, when Nico does get serious with him, it's like he just changes up in gears. Mm. And he's really starting to remind me of Hurricane Fly, who, as he got older, got a little less flashy, but still managed to win the races. And from here home, when Nico gives him a couple of flicks, it's like he just changes gears, like as if... It's almost like Altuor knows where the winning post is now,
yeah,
and what Altuor has to do. But from being in trouble, he's bolted in.
Yeah, so he's a little bit slow over his fences. The difference is he's got to be better than ever to win this year, hasn't he?
We think he has, because we're thinking that these are two top novices.
And there's two of them, not just one.
No, that adds to it, but the tactics are what's going to be interesting.
So Hell's Kitchen then, what's he doing in there?
He went forward in entry, didn't he? Yep. Sat second to Min all the way. Maybe he could be the one that goes. But when you watch Steffi the Saw in Ascot, he showed a terrific turn of foot to two out to shoot by Undersaw. And you can say Undersaw didn't go fast enough, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the actual acceleration, and the actual acceleration that Steffi showed in Ascot to two out, and the jump he threw at the second last. He won a steadily run Schlur chase here with two really good jumps as well. He definitely, I always thought was a stair, but to me has developed a turn of foot I didn't think he had.
Yeah.
And you see him here in the Schlur. This is coming down to three out, I think. Yeah, it is coming down to three out, and he's in the pocket. Palaterlog saying Calvados, Simply Ned. It was a really steadily run affair. And you're thinking here at times, how is he going to get out of there? What's he going to do? What a third last bypass on the day. Into the home turn. And he's in a right pocket. And Barry needs a jump at the second last. But Deffy was really brave. Watch him here now in the second when Barry sends him. And he's way off it. But Harry Cobden goes on Palaterlog off the bend. You can see his knees bending. He's starting to quicken. Deffy's in the middle. Go on. Just gets there, but he was brave to do it. And then the gap appears between St. Calvados' nose and Palaterlog's tail, and he goes into the gap. Another good jump at the last without getting serious, really quick through the air. And and this is a better angle to watch a horse accelerating, how quickly he accelerates up to Palaterlog, who rallies, to be fair to him. There's only going to be one winner.
And this is something that they discovered about him towards the end of last season, wasn't it? That he's better delivered late with that turn of foot. And here, this is him managing to win in a very different kind of race, a Tingle Creek that was run as an end-to-end gallop.
It was, and I think even early in the race, Barry was, I suppose, got him a little bit more prominently earlier in the race than he had done in other races to allow him to allow for a slow jump or two. But Deffy never put in a slow jump or two, and he raced a little bit on Barry's hands and probably closer to Undersaw than he wanted. And you know, he really flew the last, and you think when he jumped the last he's going to go away and win really well, but he doesn't, and Undersaw really comes back at him. But even you see how fast Deffy the Saw is when he gets in close to a fence, how quick he gets out and how quick he gets away from it, and that's a really good sign. Now he does get, I don't know, does he get empty or idle in the last half of furlong, and he's looking for the line, waiting patiently, he's charging, Undersaw is rallying back, and he's just hanging on. But I think with Shaq, I expect Shaq and Pourchois and Altuor would be in front of Deffy, off the home turn, and he'd be the one arriving late.
So do I. People are thinking that because Hell's Kitchen's in there, that he might be the horse that makes the running. You've mentioned how he's ridden at Aintree. He's also made all, I think, to win at Kempton. He is a horse that can do that. He's quite a quirky horse. In very good company, he's been held up to pick up pieces late. He baffled me a little bit because of all of them, I felt that Deffy was the one that was probably more impervious about how the race was run. We've seen him in a strongly run Tingle Creek manage to win, albeit he scrambled home slightly. We've seen him in the Schler and also the Clarence House show that turn of foot where, you know, arguably that was the most deadly that you see him. So isn't he the one that actually it doesn't matter whether they're going fast or slow up front?
That's the permutations that Paul Townend and Nick Audubonva will have to weigh up. They'll have to. Barry Geraghty, I'm sure, will be aware of whatever Hell's Kitchen is doing. The others won't. And they'll have to factor that into their tactics. They'll have to go to the start with a couple of plans. Paul Townend go down. If Hell's Kitchen goes to make it, he sits second or third. Or if no one lines up, does he go along in front? They'll have to work all of those scenarios out and have an answer to it everywhere the race is run.
I was wondering that about Jacques Bessoir. Let's have a look at the start of the Dublin Chase and look where Paul Townend is at the start. He's on the inside on Jacques Bessoir, and is he disposed if he needs to make the running there?
He can, and he's just lined up to be where he wants to be on the inside. Now, he pretty much knows Arnoux is guaranteed to go forward and go fast, and Min likes to go forward as well, so he's a fair idea when he's lining up there that both Min and Arnoux are going to go, and he's just going to slot into the seat behind, into the pocket behind Min, and that's what he does. But having said that, if they didn't and he wanted to go along, he could. If they went slow and he just galloped down to the first in front, it'd be no problem to him either. He's adaptable as to what way you can ride him. He's a very good ride. This was a really strong in one race. He picked it up at the third last, and he's a brilliant jumper, and it's his speed, like Deffy's, away from the fences that is the probably something to have a little bit over Altior, the two of them, how quickly they get away from the obstacles compared to what Altior does.
There's a bit here that you highlighted on one of our earlier Road to Cheltenham shows where Jacques Bessoir is extremely quick in and out of a fence.
There, two out. He went to there, Min's on a long stride, Jacques Bessoir getting close, yet he lands a length in front. He's just very, very good when he gets in, but so is Deffy. Now, you thought watching that race away from the second last, did you, that Shacken was going to go and destroy Min, and ultimately he doesn't. Now, they're a long way in front of Castlegrace Paddy and Arnoux, having said that, and he's second now, was a good distance in front of any second now in the Ace a fortnight ago. Any second now was a long way in front of Castlegrace Paddy, but I just watched this and thought, I thought Shacken would go and win probably more comfortably than he did. Mm. Now, Paul said it was end to end, and it was as good a race as he's ridden in all season, so. Look, and I rode Shacken Purtiswaugh here this morning, and he's in great form.
Yeah, it's deceptive, those pictures, isn't it? We've illustrated why earlier on in the show. Because it's run at such an end-to-end gallop, you know, its horses are slowing down more markedly than they might have done in another circumstance. But that's because they have gone so hard, so classily, in the mid to late part of the race.
It is. And I think the two that we've overlooked in the tactics of it are maybe Dynamite Dollars and Bundoran.
Go on.
Well, Bundoran made it in the game spirit. Dynamite Dollars
until
he fell. Dynamite Dollars off a long layoff, then ended up in front and outran how Connections thought he would run. So could they go forward?
I think it's possible, but in the mid part of last year, actually around about December of last year, when Dynamite Dollars was running up his sequence, Paul Nicholls was making the argument that this is a horse that he liked to see deliver late, because initially he was a horse that he was sending forward, and then he felt that he needs to be ridden a little bit more patient, a little bit more like Deffy de Soy. I don't know, I mean, it's a year different, it's a different kind of context.
Just the more you look at this race, the more it could turn into a mess tactically. Could get really cat and mouse, and it'll be interesting to see what happens.
What would you do? If you were on Jacques Bessoir, what would you do?
I'd be trying to keep it simple anyway.
You mentioned at the start the first two fences and where you need to be. You know, give me an idea of where everybody is.
I'd keep it simple. I'd line up, definitely, if I got to the start and Hell's Kitchen or Bundoran, one of them was adamant to make the run, and I'd let them line up on my inside in front of me, and I'd just sit outside of my Jacques Bessoir, and I would be in control of Altior and Deffy the side behind me then.
And would you make the first move compared to Altior?
I think you'd have to make that decision somewhere coming down the hill, how well you were going, how the race had been run. You could go out with a plan, but how the race had unfolded, you would definitely be having to be thinking on your feet in this race.
The two up front, Hell's Kitchen and Bundoran, that you're projecting, how good are they? What's the fine line between?
Oh, to me, they're only there. They're in the race with you. It's what's behind. If I was right,
their decoration.
Just don't get brought down by them.
And the winner is?
I'm always going to go up my heart, Lydia. I think second.
Okay. Let's see. So that's the Queen Mother Champion Chase. Let's move on to the first race of the second day, and that is the Ballymore. And the first horse we're going to look at is the horse that has been favourite for this for a very long time. There was a bit of a wobble when Gordon Elliott said on the Betfair preview show that he was thinking of running in the Supreme. Then he walked the course and decided that he was quite happy to go for the longer distance race instead. Envoy Allen, of course, has won around Cheltenham at the festival previously. He won the bumper last year.
He did, and look, this form is rock solid. That's Abacadabra's beside him in the Jigginstown colours. The white cap turning in third is Tyne Hill, and fourth in the JP colours is Blue Sari, who goes to finish second. That Sempo in the blue colours over on the right. This race has worked out really well, Lydia. And Envoy Allen here looks like Blue Sari and JP McManus colours are coming to do him, and quickens up. Barry unleashes him at the right time. Three quarters of a furlong down, have your go, but can't get by. And from here on, Envoy Allen. Not from here on, every day of his life, Envoy Allen hasn't done anything wrong. I think he's... It was interesting doing a Cheltenham preview last week with Robert Power, and he said, with the exception of Envoy Allen, in his opinion, the English novices were better than the Irish. Here he is winning the Royal Bond, where he made the run, and he made the run in a maiden hurling down Royal, where he beat a front view. Here he is winning the Royal Bond. Davy Russell went a decent enough gallop on him, 2 miles, probably in driest ground being his minimum. Gets close to the last, but watch when Davy gets after him. He quickens the lanes clear of Abacadabras. Abacadabras comes back at him, and he goes again. And that's Darver Starr in third, who's running the champion hurdle. There's just so much to like about him. He then went to Nace and the Lawler's Hotel. Elixir Danny jumped out, went a good gallop and dragged him along. That's Longhouse Poet in third in the red cap. But he just always looks comfortable. And when he gets to the front, he's never a horse that's going to go and win 25. He won his maiden hurdle by the biggest distance he's won any race, because it was the weakest race he ran in. But he's a really good jumper. Watch the way he's looking at the hurdle. Davey can keep the revs up on him. He's just so straightforward.
Right decision of race?
I would have thought so, definitely. Bumper horse. He's, you know, allowing to get on his feet. I think for him and for his future, yeah, I think it is the right race. And I think he's dead straightforward. Davy Russell can ride him in the first two or three. Can make it if he wants to. If there's no pace, something's going a good gallop, just sit in behind it. He's a really solid jumper. He's as simple a ride as you're going to have in a novice hurdle. And I'd be looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Let's have a look at Sporting John. He's the horse that's forced his way into this picture late, initially shaping to run in the Supreme. This is him at Boris House, which is a point-to-point course. I don't know, but you do, Ruby. And it's the only evidence we have of him going left-handed.
It is. Point-to-point just in South County Carlow. My father-in-law is clerk of the course. And he told me about Sporting John when he won. He'd seen a really good horse win. It is the only evidence we have him going left-handed, but anyone that was there that day didn't say he needs to go the other way around, or he'd be convenienced better by going right-handed. And he did hear what he's done in a lot of his hurdle races, and that's put it to bed from the back of the last.
He has. He's only raced right-handed here so far, but that would give you some comfort, I think, if you're worried about that.
It wouldn't bother me, and even watching him going right-handed at Exeter and places like that, you never thought, oh God, he has to go that way.
No.
I think he's a relatively straightforward horse. He does finish strongly. He's come from well back in Exeter one day. I think I saw him getting up to win well. He's a horse with a huge reputation. He just hasn't done as much in his career thus far as Envoy Allen. He could be a hell of a good horse, but if you're giving me one of them, I'd want Gardens.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear. Well, let's break up from the Ballymore to hear from Henry de Bromhead, because he's with Nick.
And he is, no doubt, one of the key players at this year's Cheltenham Festival, whatever should happen in the next 4 days. How are you feeling, Henry?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, all good.
Good stuff. Right, let's talk about tomorrow, because Ruby and Lydia have discussed a number of interesting tactical pointers. Let's start in the champion hurdle. Petit Mouchoir, how big a part of the pace is he likely to be?
Look, we'll jump off handy away as normal with him, and then, you know, it's up to Rachel then after that. She can decide how it's unfolding in front of her, and we'll see from there.
What did you make of his run in the Irish Champion Hurdle? Were you inclined to take it at face value?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I thought he ran really well. Yeah, I was delighted with him. It was a lovely run, I was delighted on the day.
Two runners in the Arkle, and again, the question that's been posed today is: to what extent should we be worried about Notebook's occasional antics in the prelims?
Yeah, they're pretty. I mean, it's only happened once before, you know. So hopefully he'll be okay. He seems very settled since he's got here. You know, we're going to he's going to use earplugs to the start, and Rachel seems happy, we're happy, hopefully it'll all be all right.
Is he difficult, or is that just over-exuberance, if you like, or over-enthusiasm?
Oh, I think he just wants to get on with it. Yeah, I don't think he's particularly difficult. I mean, he didn't know where the start was when he went the other way in Leopardstown. You know, it wasn't like he was trying not to go down, or he just took off, and that was it. But no, he seems good. He's, like I say, he's very settled here. It's not a bother on him the last couple of mornings, so hopefully he'll be all right.
We must talk about Honeysuckle, because she is... Do you feel that the pressure is a little off because Benny Dejira has been made such a short-price favourite, or are you still really feeling it as far as she's concerned, because you've had to make this call to go for the mares and take on Benny rather than running the Champion Hurdle?
I suppose I'd always put myself under a bit of pressure, you know, that it wouldn't be me otherwise. We're an unbeaten mare. We don't want to lose that tag, you know, so same as Benny. So obviously we're here to give it our best shot, and look, she's a super mare for us, we'll just see how it unfolds.
Horse I absolutely loved when finishing second to Andy Dufresne. It was Captain Guinness in the opener tomorrow. He's had a light preparation. Is he streetwise enough for the Supreme?
That's the question. Absolutely. Look, he's only run twice. He got a bit of a run in the race at Punchestown and ran a bit keen. So, we'll just try and keep him settled and see. I think the pace of the race will suit him. You know, whether he's this level, we'll find out tomorrow. You know, we could have gone digging more at home, but he'd had two runs. We were just happy to take the chance and come straight here.
Notebook is not your only runner in the Arkle, and neither is Honeysuckle the only mare that you have running tomorrow. Put the Kettle On is just lurking in there at 16-1 in the 2-mile novice chase. Are we forgetting about her prematurely, do you think, given that she won here at the November meeting?
Absolutely. She won a very good trial, you know, in November. She was very impressive, and she's a lovely mare. It's fantastic for the Diarmaid East to have a runner here. They're really excited about it, and we all are. You know, she's a really nice mare, and as I say, she's won over the course and distance. She's won a good trial. She gets her £7 allowance. She's a good mare.
Where you're talking suggests to me that if she wins, there's going to be some scenes.
Yeah, there'll be any of them, but I'd say especially with her. Yeah, absolutely. They're well up for it. Yeah, yeah.
You don't necessarily think she's a £7 inferior to horse to Notebook Over Fences.
She's a good mare, you know, and she's won a trial, so we'll see. You know, I mean, she's rated £14 less than him officially. She's getting her seven. You know, that has her bang there to finish in the money, and you know, it's a horse race. We'll see what happens.
And just looking deeper into the week, you got a slightly quieter day Wednesday, but Aplutar, huge, huge runner potentially in the Ryanair. Has everything gone smoothly with him?
Yeah. Touch wood, it has. He seems good. He's on his way over there now. He's been in really good form, we're happy with him.
Aspire Tower has just contracted in the betting a little bit again for the JCB Triumph Hurdle, and you're nodding as if to say, yeah, I'm happy with that.
No, I'm nodding to say, has he? Yeah. Okay, I didn't know. Yeah, look, he has, you know, he didn't have the ideal prep, obviously, at the Dublin Racing Festival.
Do you think he'd have won?
Rachel thought she still had a nice bit there, but who am I to say? You know, I mean, would we, you know, if Wave of the Sea had fallen, would we have thought he would have won? You know, where he came from, who knows? She was happy enough with him, but who knows? I couldn't predict that or say that. His performance at Christmas was unreal. He's been in really good form since. He schooled well the other day, but you know, it's not the ideal prep. But he's a fair horse on this day, and hoping for a good run.
And finally, you've still got Monalee and Chris's Dream in the Gold Cup, and relatively few have been confirmed for the race. Are you inclined to run either or both?
Monalee will definitely run. Chris, we're still deliberating. Not sure yet. We'll obviously have to decide this evening, and he'll travel tomorrow. So can't say as yet, but just monitoring a few things. Obviously, he'd love a nice ease in the ground. I suppose the drying you know, the drying weather after today could be interesting for him. So we'll see. We'll discuss it there this evening and make a call.
19 runners excited. You seem calm. Are you really?
No, I'm never calm. Look, really excited. Great to be involved. Feel very fortunate to have these types of horses. And, you know, just need a little bit of luck now.
Henry, thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Henry de Bromhead, 19 runners. Lydia, I'm coming to see you very shortly.
Excellent, Nick. I shall look forward to that. And now the Twitter poll, I should tell you, has closed. The Twitter poll has closed. So if you're wanting to tell us who you think the top jockey is for over the 4 days, it's too late. It was neck and neck between Paul Townend and Rachel Blackmore when we last looked. So we'll find out at the end of the show who has won. And of course, if you're watching this on the repeat, you won't have had an opportunity to take part in that. But make sure you let us know via social media what your views are anyway. And if you're watching the repeat, I didn't say that Super Sunday would be wearing first-time blinkers, because of course he wasn't declared with them. Let's have a look at the RSA, shall we, and finish off day two. And we're going to talk.
Usually, do this program is recorded a little bit, so we can edit those things out.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why it never looks like we make mistakes.
That's absolutely seamless. Don't give away trade secrets. Right, here's the RSA Insurance Chase. Manila Indo has met Alaho before, and it was in last year's Albert Bartlett.
Yes, Alaho was too keen with me here in last year's Albert Bartlett. Maybe I should have just let him gallop along, but I didn't. And he tanked and pulled and dragged. Manila Indo was a bit keen too, but was probably in a better position than I was in. I'm in the red, Rachel's in the maroon. And it told on Alaho in the end. But look, you just failed to settle. I imagine they'll ride him differently. They will most definitely ride him differently. He'll be allowed to gallop along, I imagine, and hopefully will settle better. But because of the way he pulled, he didn't have the turn of foot that Manila Indo did. And even there, I was too far back. I'd rather not be watching that one.
Inexperience for Manila Indo?
Yeah, two runs. And look, got readily outpaced by Lorena in Goran Park and then was workmanlike in Navan. But Henry did feel he left an awful lot to work on, and fitness-wise, he'd improve. But look, Manila Indo or Alaho is going to go along here. Copperhead, I can't imagine, will be too far off the pace. And I think they'll really not set it up, but they'll make it good and straightforward for Manila Indo and Champ. It'll be a truly run race.
And Alaho, there were some thoughts that he might go for the Marsh because he's quite keen at home, but he ends up in the RSA.
Not keen at home. He just can be keen at the races. And he's not probably as slow as we thought. He has a bit more pace. He did, I suppose, when all was said and done, fade back a long way off of Manila Indo there and gets running again then late in the day. But look, he's a wonderful jumper, Alaho. And I did think at this race last year that, you know, this was all coming plenty soon for him and he will be a better horse this year, and I think the evidence is that he probably is a better horse this year.
Let's discuss Champ, shall we, who won impressively at Newbury despite doing a number of things wrong and then tipped up in the dipper. What do you make of him? Lots of people are wanting to be against him, which means that his price has gone to a position where people are thinking, that might be a bit too big.
I think every horse is different, Lydia, but Champ is a strong, brave individual, and I think he was sloppy at the second last in Newbury. I think he had that fall coming. He was taking chances he shouldn't have been taking and was getting away with them. And I actually think the fall here in the dipper, even though he gets Barry out of a bit of bother there, the fall in the dipper could be the making of him. It'll make him concentrate, make him look where he's going, and make him have a little bit more respect for the jumps in front of him.
There was something inevitable about this fall. It had to be ridden into a number of fences. Barry was having to make up his mind many, many times. This is a reverse angle of what happened at Newbury, where Barry wanted to go around again and Champ didn't.
Yeah, but that just shows you the agility that Champ has.
I agree.
To say that he's able to get out of that.
And the genuineness.
Yeah, and the genuineness. But then to say, why did he do what he did in the dipper? Why did he gallop on and hit it with his chest? And you see the agility that he actually has. See him there? Just didn't make enough effort. He should have got a bit higher, a little bit cleaner. You know, Barry's gone to the front on him here, gets in close there and rubs it in front. You know, for a horse that's as agile as him, he should be lifting his front end a bit better, but he's getting away with brushing fences. So he's just brushing him a bit more. He winds him up here for a jump, and it's a very good jump. See how clean he is there. He has no problem doing it. But because he got away with brushing fences, he started doing it. Brilliant there. You know, they asked for a big jump down to the third last. Go on. Very good. Maybe if you're crabbing him a fraction.
A bit your kill.
A little bit. But here, when Barry sits on him, gives him a slap, he has him, he's trying to get in contact, sits against him. He has no reason to do what he did.
No. Doesn't that worry you?
No, it doesn't. I think actually hitting his nose off the ground, I bet you he was lying there thinking, oh, what just happened to me? I can't see him doing that again.
Okay.
I think he'll make more effort and be looking where he's going. It'd be just wonderful if racing would be so easy if you could just explain to the horses that they have to jump over the jumps, there's the winning post. And there's so much of horses could talk that would make racing so much easier, but they can't. And sometimes they have to learn through mistakes like that.
Quick one for you. Does Copperhead have the pace to hold his position around the RSA?
I think with the field and the way the race will be run, he probably does. And he's a good jumper, which will help him to hold his position. I think he's to improve a little bit, but a lot better judges than me are giving him a chance on times and things like that.
Okay. We've purposely concentrated on the first 2 days because obviously we know the fields for those 2 days. We're going to have a quick look at some of the major races for the final 2 days. And the first of those is the Ryanair. Now, you were making the argument to me that Honeysuckle's best form was over 2.5 miles. So that's where she's running. A Plutar's best form is over 2 miles, 2 mile 1. So why isn't he running in the Champion Chase?
I don't know. Why didn't Nick ask Henry?
What do you think? Tell me about a Plutar.
I think a Plutar did very well to beat Jacques Bourgeois in Leopardstown. He was spectacular here last year. Right, now Riders in the Storm was a fall in this race early, but like, look, talk about a blot and a handicap. When this is doing a half speed down the hill, I'm sure the handicappers are scratching their head thinking, how did we miss this? And it wins a furlong. He's kept improving. Now, he is a much better horse going left-handed than he is right.
Yep.
His best form is definitely going right-handed. Henry went from here, ran him in the 3 mile in Punchestown, novice chase after that, and I can't say you can't. I wasn't tripped that day to beat him. He's a much inferior horse going right handed. Absolutely bolts in here to get Rachel Blackmore, her first festival winner on the Tuesday at last year's festival. He's a good jumper, strong traveller, and you can argue that his best form is a 2 mile, Min's best form is a 2.5. But the way this fella powers up the hill, I think he finishes stronger than Min has ever done here.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And he was very, very good. Probably meeting a Jacques Bourgeois who wasn't up to fully fitness at the start of the season. But nonetheless, it was a high-class performance to beat him.
I think it was a high-class performance to beat him. And Henry is, you know, he's been fairly adamant that this horse likes a cut in the ground. And he still should be slow enough for him by Thursday. Here he is, you know, Cadmium in front. Great field on the outside of Jacques Bourgeois. And the pink down the inside is Simply Ned. Now, Jacques Bourgeois makes a move forward here on the outside in Rich Richie's colours. Pings the third last fence and lands in front. But Rachel Blackmore immediately goes and covers him. She's up on his outside to two out. Jumps up beside him. And she's right beside him from here on. I thought it was a good performance. Now, Ordinary World in third. Hardline and Fort, do they really, really make this rock solid form? Probably not, but I still think a Plutar over 2.5. It's hard to go against the Willie horse for me, but I'd like this fella in the last 100 yards there. Lydia is strong.
Okay, so you have touched on Min here at Cheltenham. It was a superb performance when he was second to Altair on figures, but his very best performance came at Aintree. You'll remember that.
I think I do.
Is he as good here as say on a flatter track, or being able to dictate in that kind of way?
Look, when I was standing here last year as a jockey, I was making the case that without Altior, Min would have won a Supreme, he would have won a Champion Chase. So, you know, why am I changing my story standing here as a pundit? But looking at it a slightly more colder sense, where I don't have to convince myself that he's going to win, that I'm not riding him anymore, I don't have to be, you know, fully in the committed to Min. I can look at it a little bit more coldly, and when I look at it a bit colder, has he finished hard strong enough? Now, maybe Altior's last 100 yards is often his best, but Min has faded a little bit here on the hill. He's had great performances over 2.5 in Punchestown and Aintree. This will be the first time he's tried it away from a flat track.
Envisage quickly how the Ryanair is going to be run then?
Oh, Frodon will jump out, but I think Min, with the pace he has and the way he's like to be ridden, will be in front of him, and a Plutar will be just behind him.
Mm. And in front of them all at the finish?
I think a Plutar.
Mm, okay. Right, so that's the Ryanair. Let's move on to the Gold Cup, shall we? And we can talk about the horses that are in that race. Album Photo and Santini, 7-2 joint favourites. Delta Work, 5-1, 6-1 and upwards the rest. Santini and Travelling. Niggled along a little bit in the Coltswold Chase?
He will, but and I don't know. Where are all the horses gone, I think, is the question. My old Cotto Star in his first Gold Cup, he was 7-4 favourite. There was 18 runners. Mm. He came back to defend it himself, and Denman taking each other gone. Again, there was 16. There was 12 left in the Gold Cup. Mm. Where have all the horses gone?
Yeah, we were worried about whether he'd be able to hold his position in a bigger field, and that's actually less of an issue than we thought.
Big time. And we look at it, then you go looking for pace. This is the pace. These two horses and throwing Kenboy are the front runners in the Gold Cup. So I think the way the race will be run will help a horse like Santini, who might struggle in a big field to hold a tactical position. That's not a worry any longer. He's jumping, he's rock solid, he stays really well. Has he got the class? Only time will tell. I haven't been his biggest advocate all year. I think the number of runners in the race gives him a better chance, but I still think he's vulnerable. I'd love to put him on him.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're saying they're going to do.
Are they?
Yeah.
They listen to us.
Yeah.
We're taking credit for that one, are we?
I think it was Artie we first of all mentioned it for.
Oh, we just kept saying it, kept trying it.
Sort of
eventually to get something right.
Sprays around Nicky Henderson's yard. Let's have a look at Delta Work, because he's got the RSA form against Santini. They were third and second respectively behind top of the game. Delta, the key thing about Delta Work is the way his jumping has improved race by race.
It has, and I think though he could be a horse that somebody needs to know. And Mark Walsh is a very good rider, but this is a tough horse just to get on. I know he's probably ridden him working, he's ridden him schooling, but Davy Russell rode him here. Jack Kennedy definitely developed a good relationship with him, and he rode him in Leopardstown on both occasions. Look, he gets squeezed out between top of the game and Santini here, and eventually gets running when he gets switched to the outside. Davy Russell still hasn't gone for his whip. You know, he's only going for it now, half a furlong down, but that's when he got out, got level, got balanced, and the time he got running. So, he's definitely improved this year, Lydia. You see him here in Leopardstown. You've Kenboy, where is Delta Work? He's in the white cap, white Jigginstown cap, coming behind Road to Respect. Kenboy in the blue is about to get out. Mona Lee is in front. Jets. Is still there, but his horse quickens really well down the outside. Behind him in the white cap is Presenting Percy. Rachel Blackmore had completely controlled and dictated this race in Mona Lee. She lands in front, but Delta Work does shoot down the outside and mows him down late. He's a horse that won at Portemps handicap hurdle as a 5-year-old. He's now a 7-year-old. Stamina is not going to be an issue for this lad, and he will stay every bit as strong as Santini or Album Fodder.
Okay. Monaloo is going to be towards the fore in the Gold Cup. Kenboy might try to do that, but isn't he going to adjust right a little bit too much to be able to hold his position?
I think it won't be ideal for him. He adjusted right in Liverpool, but you harped on about and still harping on about. And
you see
him
right.
You were right. Yeah. You see him, he goes a bit right there, but that's him. He goes right. But he has managed to win going left-handed on two occasions. But he does go right, and it's not ideal. You would prefer if he didn't.
Absolutely. Presenting Percy, I question his finishing effort the last twice. As I understand it, so is Davy Russell, so I feel safe.
Not so bad. And back to Kenboy before he goes out of shot. I think he would want the sun to shine all week to give him a chance. I think he'd be definitely better on good ground. And Presenting Percy, look, Lydia, if he could turn up here in the form that won an RSA, he has a massive chance. But we just haven't seen that horse since.
No. We haven't, even though he's had a clearer run at this season. Let's have a look. Our final piece of footage involves last year's Gold Cup winner. That is Album Fodder. He's had a very similar, identical preparation to this time last year. He went to Tremor, put up a better performance, if anything. How good is Album Fodder's jumping? Because obviously he has fallen around here with you in the RSA.
And he fell with David Mullins going to win in Limerick. He fell at the last in the race that Fahim won this year. His only issue, Lydia, is that even when you watch him, he definitely gets higher behind than he does in front, and still does, even watching him in Tremor. That could be an issue at 4 out, 3 out in the first and the back if he was to get deep to one of those fences, because he does get his hind end higher than his front end, and gravity can take over in that situation. So that is his only issue. He's in wonderful form, he looks really well. Paul Roach, who rides him out, couldn't be happier with him. We know he stays, he's had the same prep. You look at it, he beats Annabelle Fly in Bristol, the main end of River and Clandas all, but will that run do again, guys?
Nick's here.
I am. Henry de Brumhead was good, wasn't he?
Very good.
Yeah. He said Manella Indo was a certainty, by the way.
Did he?
Yeah, I just missed that.
So did I. My earpiece wasn't working.
Will that run do? No, I don't think it will. I think he needs more this year. I think there's a fresh batch of horses in there. I think the horses from last year's RSA Chase behind top of the game, Santini and Delta Work, represent a stronger threat than the horses who finished second and third last year. That would be my view of it. But he's clearly had a great preparation. Who says he's not a better horse now than he was 12 months ago?
Who would you want to ride?
I'd ride Album, I think. I think I would have been here, done that. I'd take my chance in him keeping his hind end below his front end.
Yeah, if you want to have a look at our course walk, Ruby's talking about 4 out and 3 out and why that might be the danger spot for Album Fodder. And what would you be worried about the fact that it's difficult to win? Not since Best Mate has a horse managed to win a back-to-back Gold Cup. Would that be in the back of your mind?
I'd have said a 5-year-old couldn't win the championship chase as well. That'll be done. Someone will do it.
Okay. It can be done. Nick, thank you very much for all of your interviews today. It's been rattling along, and you're here in the afternoon, aren't you?
I am here. Like, I think there's a gap between Stratford and Kempton this afternoon, so we are going to try and get whoever's around in that little gap. But all the meetings go ahead this afternoon on Racing
and
TV.
If you're watching the recording show, of course, that won't actually happen. It's gone. Yes. It's gone. So, Nick, thank you very much. Ruby, thank you very much. Thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you again soon for the festival.
We'll be right back.